overwhelmed by your truth forever. The word that we use so loosely at times, and we fail to truly comprehend what that really means. Forever, you have overcome. Forever. We never have to worry or fret. We never have to be fearful of the unknown to us, for it is known to you. Forever you will be victorious. Forever you will reign. Forever you will be glorified. Forever you will be king. And that is the God we gather here today to worship. Father, thank you for the gift of your Son that has allowed us this privilege, that has cost you so dearly because of your great love for each and every one of us, for all of humanity you freely gave. Father, I pray this morning as we come face to face with that very gift, that gift that has been testified, that gift that has been verified, that gift that has been proven to be true over and over and over again. Father, today we will believe it with fresh hearts and fresh eyes and fresh minds. Father, we pray right now for those that may be with us today, trying to figure out what Christianity is about. How do we believe? How do we follow? How do we have faith? I pray, Father, for their salvation today. The power of the Spirit would be upon their hearts. God, that you would be bringing to them a knowledge of brokenness and repentance to turn to you, freely give their lives over to you. Father, I pray for us as the body, your children, that we'll see that it is a gift, it is a privilege with great responsibility to follow after Christ. I pray that you will be glorified. I pray for your Spirit who testifies of the Son, that freedom in our hearts today. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. You have your Bibles. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. We are narrowing down to the end of our study in 1 John. You didn't believe we'd ever get here 7 months ago when we began. We have 2 sermons left to go through 1 John and just to see what he's pointing to us and leading us and challenging us to follow after him. I want to give a quick, brief summary of the audience that John is writing to. Remember back at the beginning, we just talked about the context. There's an audience that has to be the recipients of the Word of God that John is writing to. And he's writing to these people that are dealing with these heresies that have entered into the church. These heresies that nothing really matters of this world. There's no blessedness in material. It's all in this secret, hidden knowledge. Now let me ask you, you know this person that I'm describing. Everybody has this person in their life. That friend or acquaintance that comes into your life that has a story bigger than reality every time they're around. You know who I'm talking about? Some of you are shaking your head, yes, but you don't realize that might just be you at times. You know that guy that says, we went fishing. And we caught a fish this big. He means this, but you see this. We caught this many. We've done this over and over again. Telling stories that you know there's no way in the world that can be true. I have a friend just like that. He would talk and talk and talk and talk. And what I love to do is just give people enough rope to swing me or hang themselves on the way. And he was always dangling. Always. He'd come and he'd want to talk to me about things that I might know. And start to talk about like he was some expert in that field. And then just go off and talk about all these details. I met this friend about a year after I finished playing college football. And he wanted to come tell me all these ins and outs about my college coaches. Like I didn't have a clue who they were and what they were like. And I would just call his bluff. And so it just got worse, and it got worse, and it got worse. And to the point that I said, all right, enough is enough. You can't tell me another story unless you have eyewitnesses with you. I won't believe a word that you say until you bring to the courtroom of my living room the truth with people that were there that could verify. And so his stories were limited to very few to none. He couldn't even tell me truthfully the price of gas as we drove past the gas station. He was that far removed from reality. You have them, don't you? You met those people that are like that. And so often we need those eyewitnesses. Today in our text, John brings those eyewitnesses to the courtroom. He brings those that will bring testimony, that will testify the validity of Jesus Christ. Now, it's not like we need this. It's not like God says, you know what? I have to build a case. I have to build a great argument to prove all this to you. He's the King. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the creator of the universe. He says in Romans chapter 1, you know that I am who I am just by the creation of the world. You know there has to be a point in time where something caused all of these events. Creation screams that there's an artist behind the painting. So he doesn't need that. He doesn't have to prove himself. But you know why he does? Because it's great. More than that, he likes you. And you might not, but you might have woken up this morning and thought, you know what? I don't even like me. That's where I am most days. Maybe yesterday, let me back up and start where I should have. Happy New Year. Maybe your New Year was off to a hard, rocky start. Mine began last night at the hospital with my dad. Having an AFib heart, maybe a heart attack. The worst part of it is my dad's being really rude and all that to all the nurses harassing them. And so as we left, we apologized over and over and over again. We were standing there trying to check in, and you have to give them your ID after 9 o'clock to go into the hospital. And there's a lady down there bawling her eyes out because she doesn't have her ID. She left it up in the room with her son, who's in ICU. And so we ride the elevator up, and my wife and I, my family gets off on the fifth floor with my dad. And my wife and I go on up to the eighth. Her son overdosed this morning, yesterday. She's in the shaking, and she has nobody. We got to love on her and pray with her and minister to her. It's a rough start to 2016, isn't it? Maybe you think at this moment God doesn't like you. He likes you. He loves you. And he proves it because he gives us witness after witness after witness of his great love. So if you would, as we start this morning, would you stand as we honor his words and not man? 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. This is he, talking about the Son of God, who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has bore concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has a testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God, God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has bore concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in the Son. And whoever has the Son has life. And whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Thank you. You may be seated. Look what he does to us in verse 6. He speaks, John is writing to the church, and he says, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only. They believe that testimony. They believe that eyewitness when he came into the room. The water of Jesus' baptism. That the water where John the Baptist is there in the Jordan River as it feeds into the Dead Sea. There where the crowds are around and the eyewitnesses are there and they see this eyewitness account of the baptism of Jesus Christ. The church, maybe they haven't been there. Maybe there are some that were present at that point in time. We don't know that. But we do know they don't argue that point. He was baptized. See, what they're saying is, we understand that he was baptized and the Spirit came upon him. We get that point. We understand that. We like that. And that's where you and I as a church fall quite often. We like that. We like that Jesus came and he was recognized as God. He was good. The crowds, think back to that scene there in the Jordan River. Can you imagine? There are thousands. It says all of Jerusalem is coming. All of Israel is there. There's thousands of people there following this baptism. They're there when this event occurs. You remember how many are with him in the garden praying, sweating drops of blood? His three closest away, can't he? What about when he's being crucified, being tortured? They all abandon him and leave him. It's that stinking testimony of blood that gets us. We like God. We like the thought and the theory and the ideas of God and being a big God and he loves me and it's about me and he likes me and it's all of these things. But we don't really want to hold to the truth that he died for sins. He paid the price and we are faced with them. We struggle with that part. We like it when we think he just likes us and it's all clean and neat. But he doesn't just like you. He loves you so much that he doesn't want to leave you in that state. He doesn't want to leave you in that presence. He doesn't want to leave you there. He wants to make you whole. He wants to see you, cover you with his blood, and say, you are my righteousness. I love you. I'd much rather be loved than liked, wouldn't you? And then I don't like me. I love my wife and my children. I love my family. Again, just thinking through there, I got the phone call from my older brother. He said, we took Dad to the urgent care. He said, I'm short of breath, and we're doing this and that, and we're going to run home and get some clothes and go back up to, they wanted to go to ER. And I get off the phone. I tell my wife. I said, it's nothing. But I'm crying over nothing. I said, my dad can stub his toe and go to the hospital and it bothers me. I hate that. The love that I have for my dad and my family failed far short in comparison to the love that God has for you. Think about it. He doesn't want to leave you. He likes you. He loves you. He wants you to see that it's more than just this water. It's, in Kinney's, it's the water and the blood. So the testimony, if you want to write notes, right here, the water represents the baptism of Jesus Christ. When he was baptized, the blood is his crucifixion, where his blood is spilled on the ground. There's so many different thoughts and ideas with these verses and these words, and I'm going to stick with what I believe, and that's what the testimony is. It's both. And then he says, because, and it's the testimony of the Spirit, is the one who testifies. You see, there's three there. There's three that give this testimony. Let's say the same thing. This Jesus, he's the way. This Jesus, he's the truth. This Jesus, he's the only hope you have in this world. The church says, well, I don't know. I can work really hard. I can be good. I can try hard. Remember, there's this secret knowledge. There's this hidden information. And someday, it's just going to all click. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever thought that someday you'll just be more spiritual than you are today? Someday there's a spiritual light switch. It just comes on and now you're instantly holy. It just all goes into place. You're probably the same ones that think someday you'll have the body you've always wanted without dieting and exercise. Someday you'll just wake up and be in the fit shape that you've always wanted to be in. What does it take to lose weight? A lot of work. A lot. Spirit. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. You know what the Holy Spirit speaks to you? He speaks to you concerning the Word of God. He illuminates, he enlightens the Word of God in your life. He will never contradict the Word of God. He continues in John chapter 15, 26, says, when the Helper comes, the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. To go back to the testimony of the water, we like that. It's easy. That's me, myself, and I. We want God. We want him to be big. We want him to be removed. But he says the water, the blood, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the Spirit all testify. All give true statements that Jesus is Jesus. And he's God. And we have to follow him. We have to give our lives over to him. That we must submit everything that we have. He continues in verse 7. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree. I believe what he is doing is going back all the way to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15, he says, a single witness shall not suffice against a person for any crime, for any wrong in connection with the offense that he has committed. It's only on the evidence of two or three witnesses shall a charge be established. Again, he doesn't have to bring these witnesses. He doesn't have to bring them into the courtroom of our lives. But he does, and he says, listen, they all agree. The Spirit breathes truth. They all agree in unison. When's the last time you've been around three people that's ever agreed on anything and everything? When's the last time you agreed on three different things in your own life? So often we're so confused. We get back and forth, and we think here, and we go here. But these three, the water, the blood, and the Spirit, they testify of one thing. Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord. He was fully God. He was fully man. He appeased the wrath that is due our name, and he sufficed it all to become his grace and mercy. He wants this relationship. He falls in love with us so far that we don't even understand. Verse 9, if we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of what? This is a testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Again, there's a lot of people with Jesus. There's a whole lot, crowds that follow him. And when it came to his death, even the apostles and disciples abandoned him. In your own walk, in your own life, when it comes to dying to self, the flesh wants to flee, doesn't it? The flesh wants no part of it. See, John is writing to a church that's walking completely in the flesh. I just want this knowledge. I want that feel-good feeling when I go to church. I want it to be about me, and I want people to serve me, and I want people to minister to me, and I want people to do things for me. Me, 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 me. He says, listen, here's the testimony. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. You believe in him? Oh, we believe in Jesus. You love him? We love Jesus. He says, if you believe, if you love, you'll obey my commandments. If you love me, if you want to follow after me, you will give your life to me. Look what he says in verse 10. Whoever believes in the Son of God has this testimony in himself. And whoever does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed in the testimony that God has concerning his Son. often we think belief means intellectual, but it's experiential. It's not just intellectual. The demons believe in God and shun Him. They are fearful. They believe a better, more clear picture than you and I have at this point in time. And they are fearful of God. They have an intellectual knowledge of Him. They do not have an experiential relationship with the King of Kings. Do you believe with your heart, not just your head? Do you believe with all of your being, with all of your life, that God is God and you are not? This is a testimony that He gives to us in His Word. In verse 10, he lays this out. Going back to 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 22. He says, "Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ?" That's the liar. That denies that Jesus is the Christ. How do we deny that Jesus is Christ? We don't follow after Him. We don't give our whole lives to Him. We hold so very much back, and we think of the temporal, not the eternal. We hold everything in. It's about me, myself, and I, and the things and the comforts that I like, and what I enjoy, and what I want. But He continues, and He says in verse 22, He's the liar, the one who denies the Christ. This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. What's the beginning? God. The testimony of Jesus. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, the Word with God, the Word was God. What you've heard from the beginning of this life, let it abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and the Father. And this is the promise that He made to us, eternal life. This is the promise He has made to us, eternal life. If you abide in the Word of God abides in you. You are faithful to obey the Word of God, to walk by faith, that you don't have a clue intellectually how this makes sense. Logically, following Him, it doesn't comprehend, it doesn't compute, you don't get it. But you still walk by faith. You abide in the Son of God. You abide in the Word of God. He says, you abide in me. And this is the promise. Now listen carefully. This is the promise of eternal life. You see what He said? The tense and the wording of that right there. He doesn't say, and someday I will give you a promise that will be fulfilled in the future. Then when you die and you're gone, then you'll have eternal life. Promise right now, even in your temporal body, is eternal life. Brothers and sisters in Christ, are you living for eternity right now? Because that's the promise He's given. Are you living for eternity right now? Because that is the promise He's given to you and I. And if we abide in Him, there's nothing this world can throw at us that should cause us to be stirred in our hearts to be fearful and fretful. Yes, and it's sad and it consumes me to think that I might lose my dad. Man, that's your hero. He's your rock. This is not a big deal. This is just the start. What happens in life? We get older. It's not a good thing, is it? We don't enjoy that. You ache and you hurt and you feel all these things going in your body. You know that 10 out of 10 people die? 100% success rate. I'm trying to get my good friend Elliot to work out with me. He said, you know that every single person that works out dies? It's a good strong case. When you lose someone or someone's hurt, someone's sick, let's not pretend that you're over spiritual and hurt. It's not sad. More like the lost, do we? We have hope that lasts for eternity. And this hope is Jesus Christ and Christ alone. It continues in verse 11. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And the life is in His Son. Whoever has water, you have the blood, and you have the Holy Spirit. But now, two whoever's walk in. They're sitting there in the stand together. There's the whoever that believes in the Son of God, and there's the whoever that does not believe in the Son of God. There's the whoever, the attorney looks to him and says, whoever, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Yes, I do. He goes, can you tell me about that experience, that relationship? He says, yes, I can. And he goes in this great detail of this relationship with Jesus Christ. And he looks over at the second whoever. He says, do you believe this testimony that Jesus is the Son of God? He says, I do not. I reject that. He says, tell me the life that you live. In those scenarios, you have two completely different minded individuals. I believe that John lays that here to his church. Because you are faced with the reality today. You can either accept the testimony of the water, the blood, and the Holy Spirit of God. Or you can reject it. You can't ignore it. You can't explain it away. You can't put it in the category of theory and thoughts. You either accept it or you reject it. There is no in between. I think so often in our lives, we think we can kind of just muddle our way through the middle, and it's just okay if we're just okay. It's just good enough if we're just good enough. And we don't live with the promise that he's given to us, eternal life now in the present, for all eternity. Listen to what he says in John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. Rather, the wrath of God remains on you. That is a very terrifying place to be. Maybe that's you. Today you're here and you rejected the message of Jesus Christ. You haven't just ignored it. You haven't rationalized it. You haven't tried to explain it away. You've simply rejected it. And John 3:36 says very plainly and clearly, the wrath of God remains. Made the choice to allow that wrath to remain upon you and in your life. And he appeased it already. He offers you a gift. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't do enough good to get to the Father. But you have to go through me, the one that John is testifying about, the one that the church is built upon, the one that has conquered the grave, the one that has been victorious in every aspect of life, the one who's seated at the right hand of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. This is the God of creation. He